does for us. I don't think we can say it enough, how incredible the Lord is, how wonderful He is. And it's just really encouraging to me to know that we serve a God that cares about us, has included us from the very beginning. We're not an afterthought. We're not a fix to the problem. We were included from the beginning. I mean, thank God you were included. And the inclusion is not some people. He includes everyone, but we have to decide. How many has decided today that you believe that God, the Almighty God, is the one whom you want to serve? The one that you want to pay glory and honor to and give Him and just exalt the majesty on high? See, you have to decide to do that. Some folks do. Some don't. But whatever you do, it's what you're responsible for. And we have to make sure that we're clear on what honor we give to the Lord. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. And after I've listened to the story and see the evidence in the scripture, I realize what God's done for me. It's exciting. You know, for a long time, you could grow up and you think salvation is just to save you from eternal punishment. And it's more than that. Salvation is to restore the relationship back so we can participate. So we can work, we can be in the kingdom of God. There's more to the story than just being saved. And for a long time, my understanding was we're just trying to be saved. Well, it's more than that. Listen, it's exciting being saved. But how many of you know that there's more to the whole thing than just making it? Are you okay with that? Just making it shouldn't be the thing that, I'm just glad I made it. It's more, I want to be a participant. I want to do my part, whatever it is. I'm not just born to be the guy I am now. I believe that God has a purpose and plan for me. And in this life that we live, He's trying to get us to recognize that purpose and plan. And then it'll be because I wasn't just born to die. I was born to live. How many understand that? You know, they sing a song about Jesus. He was born to die, but He was born to live. And you were born to live, not just die. And if death, Paul said this, if death's all we got, we are most men miserable. He said we ought to just eat and drink and die. What'd he say in there? Today's term, he said, look, you better just get all your buddies together and have a big party. Enjoy as much as you can, because once you die, it's over. But he said there's a resurrection. If there's a resurrection of the dead, that means he brings those who died in Christ back to life. For what? What's the purpose? And so we need to know that purpose. We need to be excited. We ought to be planning that, right? How many of you ever planned something? You was maybe going on a trip and you started planning for that trip. You started, maybe you was trying to save some money, so you put some money on the side. And maybe you had to call and get a hotel arrangement, so you made those calls. But you planned that, and you got ready, and the date wasn't the next day. It was to come. But you worked toward that. You planned toward that. And that's what we ought to be doing. Are you planning for your future today? Are you planning for eternity with the Almighty God? Are you planning for it? You say, well, I don't think I had the plan. I thought God had all the plan figured out. Listen, you and I better be planning for that. Because if you don't make preparations for it, and what happens is you have no intention of being there. If you have an intention of being there, you're preparing for it. And so it's important. Now, if somebody's not going on a trip, they're not saving for that trip you're going on. They're not planning for that trip. They're not making reservations for that trip because they're not going. Why would they make reservations for it if they're not going? The church, the Christians, ought to be acting like we're going to be in that amazing kingdom that God's promised for us. How many preparing for the kingdom? I mean, realize that's the central theme of the scripture. Prepare for it. Get ready for it. So we've been looking at that. And I want to make sure that I'm giving you the information that you can go back and go over it for yourself. I believe that's what we ought to be doing at church. We ought to be getting the information of the Word of God. I don't think we should go to church all our lives and still not really understand what the Scripture's talking about. We can, listen, therefore, Paul said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us move on to perfection. What do you think he was talking about? Some folks can just camp at the cross and never realize there's a kingdom coming. We got to be careful of that. Now, I preached a message a long time ago out in the original building out front, and I had a cardboard box. I cut it out, and it was a cross. You remember that big cardboard? And I put a door in it. We better step through that door and realize there's listen, Jesus, he preached the kingdom. He preached something beyond his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He preached beyond that. Shouldn't we be doing that? Paul preached beyond death. Peter preached beyond death. Not to mention, if we go back into the Old Testament, the prophets talked about beyond death. And we have to be careful that we don't just stop and we understand these principles. Let's review really quick. Again, we're talking about the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come. What I talked about first was the kingdom story. The kingdom story. When I got back, Brother Scott reminded me of how lengthy that message was. Well, I'm going to try to shorten it and I gave you one shorter last Sunday, and this one might be shorter. Okay? Notice I used the word might. Summary of Genesis 1 through 3. How many has been reading chapter 1 through 3? Go back and read that. It's your Bible. It's your story. It's our family we're talking about. You want to know your family. You want to know your history. Go back and read Genesis 1 and 3. God gave man the earth. God gave man the authority over the earth. God was perfect. It was in perfect relationship with man. And then we had a little issue there in parentheses. How many see that issue? Serpent, sin, curse, etc. So this is just a review. You've seen these slides two Sundays ago. Consequence of sin, the curse. Battle between man and Satan for thousands of years. This has been going on. I gave you a little example, and I opened two pages in my Bible is what it is, and that's the first three chapters, and then a big, thick part in the middle, and in the end, when he fixes it, that's been going on for thousands of years. And we shouldn't be shocked by that, right? There's a battle. How many of you know there's a battle? Every day of your life, there's a battle. God's for you, Satan's against you. You got to figure out which side you're going to be on. You listen to the lies of Satan, the Bible's clear, clear, clear. Your soul will be damned. How many of you know when it talks about that, that's talking about the whole person. There's no separation there. When he says your soul will be damned, he's talking about the whole person. It's not going to be part of you. Okay, the whole person is going to be meet that consequence of death in the lake of fire. And that's clearly stated in the scripture. Number two, pain for women in childbirth. Pain for women. That was part of the curse. Number three, relationship problems. Misdirected desires. Remember we talked about that. And this goes on constantly in our world today. Misdirected desires. And we have to make sure that listen, when I look at this, I can look back in my life and I can see where I had the issues. I had misdirected desires. Anybody ever experienced that? When my desire should have been to God, it was to something else, to satisfy my own flesh. That's a misdirected desire. How does that happen? Through a relationship problem. If my relationship with God would have been where it needed to be, I wouldn't have desired anything else. I sure wouldn't have wanted to please my flesh. But every time I pleased my flesh, it was the direct link to my relationship problem. If your relationship's good with God, you won't want to please yourself over pleasing Him. How did Jesus survive? His relationship with the Father was intact, constantly intact. So when it came time for him to make a decision whether or not he was going to do what he wanted, he said, I don't want to do what I want, not my will, but your will be done. He loved God, the Father, so much that he didn't want to do what he wanted. And so what did God do in return for him when he died? What did God do? He raised him from the dead. Isn't that incredible? I wonder what God will do for you when you die. I'm just wondering. If our relationship issue's fixed, he's going to raise you from the dead. To me, that's incredible. Amen? Absolutely incredible. Number four, the earth is cursed. How many know the earth is cursed? For you to make it in life today, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to toil and labor. There was a time that man didn't have to do that. It was already done. He didn't have to plant no seed. He didn't have to do anything. He just could just eat and be full. And it was incredible. How many of you know there's going to be a time that gets all back in place? But right now, the earth is still cursed. Number five, pain, trials, cast out of the garden. How many of you know they went through some pain and trials? They were cast out of the garden, not in the paradise anymore. How many of you know right now we're not in the paradise? How many of you know the paradise will return? God's going to restore. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Number six, death. Is death real? If you face that, you've had a loved one, death is real. It's real. It's amazing. You know, just you don't realize it until you're there and you experience when somebody's there and they're with you. They're right there and all of a sudden they're gone. Death. It's just something changed. The whole room atmosphere changes. And I've been there many times, seen that. And because death is real. And then we all need to be aware of that. It's very real. Sometimes people live like they don't have to worry about anything. And then some people say, oh, it don't matter. You're going to die one day. And you wonder where that comes from. Because they have no insight of how incredible the future will be in God. And so this is important for us. That's why we went over this. So if you were here the first Sunday when I got back, this is everything that I covered. Our relationship with God was perfect. How many of you know that it was absolutely perfect? The relationship with God was perfect. And so we want to just keep these things in mind as we go through this. Let me give you a couple more slides and then we'll start for this morning. Results of restoration, all things new. The devil's defeated and destroyed in Revelation 20:10. He's defeated and destroyed. So not only is he defeated, right now he's defeated. He was the only defeat that he had is at Calvary. But he's still in charge. Are you getting this? The devil has dominion over this world. That's why people do what they do. But he will be defeated. If he's not in charge, then why would you have to defeat him? If he doesn't have a rule and a reign, why does he have to be dethroned or removed? Because he's still... how many of you ever watched the news or looked around in the world today? There's an evil presence. The devil is trying to destroy as many as he can. But I want to tell you again, he will be defeated and, not just defeated, destroyed. What does it mean to be destroyed? Cease to exist. It's over. Finished. Will he ever come back? No. He'll never come back. Not when he's destroyed. Now, when he's put in the abyss for 1,000 years, we talked about that. But that's clear. We see that. And then he's released again and deceives the nations once again. But after that, he's thrown into the lake of fire. What does that mean to be thrown in the lake of fire? It's over. Finished. Done. I mean, get that. We don't want to go there, right? Because if it's over for the devil, it'll be over for you and I. So we are staying away from that. Well, how do we stay away from that? Certain death. How do we stay away from it? Through Christ. Christ is the way, the truth, and the what? The life. Not the death, the life. Is this helping anybody? No more curse. How many ready for that? No more curse. Everybody say that. No more curse. Wow. It's incredible. No more mourning, crying, or pain. He said, I'm going to wipe away every tear from their eye. Hallelujah. God's so good to us. He's so good. Is anybody anticipating this? Anybody excited about this? Earth is restored. Earth is restored. I mean, you know, we're going to live on a restored earth. Restored. Number five, healing, tree of life returns. Isn't that going to be exciting? The tree of life returns. It's absolutely incredible. You're going to get to see it with your own eyes, what they saw. And it says it's important that we, he said, it's pleasant to the eye, a tree to be desired. So it's going to be something to see. How many has ever seen pretty trees? And what about when the fall starts to come and the trees start turning? Everybody's been traveling and seen that on the mountains. They have nothing compared to this tree. It's going to be awesome. Number six, resurrection, eternal life. Anybody ready for some of that? Yeah. Resurrection, eternal life. So this is all things that I talked about when the first Sunday we was back. Relationship with God made perfect. The relationship with God made perfect. That is, man, I could sit down and just think about that and just begin to weep before God. The relationship with God made perfect. I know some folks think they have a perfect relationship with God right now. But we only have that in kind. And the only way we can have it is being sealed by the Spirit of promise. What is the Spirit of promise? It's the earnest money. If you put the earnest money down on a piece of property, did you pay for it in full? No. It's a down payment. How many understand what a down payment or earnest money is? What did he say? He said the Spirit's the earnest. It's the earnest money. It ain't in full yet. But go ahead and act like it is. Because when I could swear by no higher power, I swore by myself. That's what God said. So God swore to God. Isn't that incredible? So what is that? You ever heard this term, you could take it to the bank? Anybody ever heard that term? What does that mean? It's such a guarantee. You can take it to the bank. Man, go ahead and deposit it. It's a guarantee. You can take it to the bank. Well, in God and what he's promised, you can take it to the bank. How did he secure that? With the Spirit, the earnestness of the Spirit. That's the earnest money. It's the down payment. So I read in Acts, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place with one mind. And suddenly there came a sound from where? From heaven. Like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the place where they were. It was like cloven tongues of fire that sat on each of them, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. How incredible is that? Did he promise that was coming? Absolutely he did. So listen, the Spirit is the guarantee, and I'm thankful I got the guarantee. So it's not full yet, fully done, but I'm guaranteed it to be done. And I have that promise. What promise did he make to me any different than he made to Abraham? Same promise. Is he going to do it for Abraham? Absolutely. Let me ask this question. Will Abraham stand alive, immortal, in the kingdom of God one day? But how do we know that? We can say yes, but how do we know Abraham is going to stand completely whole, alive, in the full strength of Abraham, just like God called him, in the kingdom one day? You know how we know it? Because he was promised it, and God can't lie. It was promised to him. How many thank God that you have promises? Then I talked about last week the kingdom journey. So if you was here, we went over that. I'm going to give you just a quick review on that. The next slide, step one, return the land through Abraham, as his name was changed. A man who loved God. Step two, return the rulership through David, a man who loved God. And step three, return the relationship through Jesus, the Son of God. That, to me, is absolutely incredible. So we return the land, return the rulership, and return the relationship. All those three things are for us, been given to us, awarded to us. Let me ask you this question. The returning of the land, was that promised to Abraham? Or it still has to be promised? No, it was already promised. What guarantee that Abraham is going to get that land? God said, when I could swear by no higher power, I swore by myself. That ought to encourage you. That absolutely ought to encourage you when he could swear by no higher power. He swore by himself. You get it like Abraham's getting it. We are all going to be in the kingdom of God, but we have to hold on to the promises of God. They're faithful. Number two, that return of rulership through David. David was the king. Saul was king before David. And then Saul was rejected. He told Samuel, he said, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him? He's not king anymore. He's done. He's finished. Because he went contrary against God. But he said, you anoint, fill your horn with oil. Now, I want you to understand, what does that mean? He's saying, I got a Messiah in the wings. A Messiah. How many of you know that the anointing of someone is the word Messiah is the anointed one. David was a type of Messiah. You go study it out, a type of Messiah. He was anointed king, that type. And then there's another anointed who's going to sit on, because he said of his throne, there'll be no end. Well, we know David died. Well, who's going to be the one from his lineage? Who's going to be the one comes out of his line? It would be Jesus. And he's anointed, the anointed one. And I'm thankful that we have the Messiah. Amen? Is he here? Is he come? Has he died? Is he returned back to the Father? Is he waiting for the return again? All those things have happened, and he's poised and ready. I believe he's ready. So, you know, how many's ever run a race before? Anybody's ever run a race? And you get to the line, and they say, you mark? Anybody see that? So what do? So you're standing there. When I run track. When I was, you know, nobody, you know, it's very serious. You know, it's not ready. So you might be doing all the stuff you do, you know. It's hard to do it right now. I got to watch. But anyway, you know, you're doing whatever. And you're stretching. And you're not even, you know you got a race coming up, but you're not at the line. But then the man comes out. He's got the little gun in his hand. He says, runners, take your mark. Everything changes. You quit stretching. That ain't the time to be doing all of that, right? You take your mark. And now you see, you're getting ready. I believe that God's already said, take your mark to Jesus. Get set. I believe that's where we are in time. He's at his mark and he's set. And he can come at any time. But what is our job? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Can we get the gospel out really quick? We can. We just got to get our message right. Amen? Number three, return relationship through Jesus, the Son of God. And that's absolutely incredible because we are experiencing now as Christians a right relationship with God. Is it in its fullness? Not yet. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But one day, face to face. Isn't that incredible? We don't realize, everybody says, I want it now. You don't even realize what we ask sometimes, want it now. I'm so glad that God has prepared it the way he has because we must see through the glass darkly. Because still inside of us, we got to get that last part fixed. That last part needs to be. We got to have the body like Adam had in the garden. And the only way to fix that last part is through death. Are you hearing me? It's through death. Somebody said, "Well, I'm saved." Well, I know you are, but you can't fix that last part without death. Are we better than Christ? Are we better than Christ that we don't have? I don't have to go through that. You know, I've been saved for 50 years and I got the Holy Ghost. And we got to watch because we start elevating ourselves above the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you this question. Did he have to die? And he was willing to drink his bitter cup. And sometimes we get all worked up because we don't want our cup. Listen, no matter what you go through, you ought to be thankful that God has recorded you in the Lamb's Book of Life. No matter what we face, because there's folks, while we're sitting in this wonderful building today, there's folks around the world that don't have it this easy. And you know what? They love God just as much as we love God. And God loves them just as much as he loves us. So you got to ask yourself a question. Why them there and why us here? And am I doing what I need to be doing, experiencing the wonderful comfort that God has given me? Or am I so caught up in my everyday that I have no time to share the gospel? When plan you something, go somewhere, get involved with something, get involved with missions in your church. You may not travel, but you praying for them, and you're so involved and so attached to it, it's as if you would be going there, because you're doing it as a kindred connection, spirit to spirit, and you're allowing yourself to be a part of it, even though you may not travel. Are you hearing me? God don't bless us so we can have stuff. It's more than that. And he's not that he don't want us to have it, but we have to make sure that we're focused on it and be willing to say, Lord, if you ask me to walk away from it all today, can I do that? Can you do it? How many would give all your stuff up today if God says, give it all up? And we should make sure we prepare ourselves to be able to do that when the time comes, if it ever comes. He may never, but if he does, will you do it? We have to settle that issue. And let me tell you, it was a time in my life I didn't have that issue settled. I was more attached to what I was accomplishing than what I... And listen, you got to settle that. You got to say, God, whatever you say. And let me tell you, it's not convenient sometimes to do things that God asks you to do. But we got to make sure we're doing that. And some of you sitting in here, God, you have no doubt God has anointed you and prepared you for that type of outreach. You do it. Don't let nothing, no one stop that. You got to honor God and what God has declared over your life. So we want to make sure that relationship returns. This is absolutely incredible. Today, now we just reviewed last 2 weeks. Today, the kingdom vision. How many know what the vision of the kingdom is? Well, I'm going to give you a description. And it's all through the Bible. All through the Bible. But the kingdom vision is important. What will the kingdom of God be like? Some folks say, oh, we just don't know. You know, really, nobody really knows what it's going to be like. Well, I know what we do know, what the Word says. And sometimes people don't know because they don't want to open up the Scripture and read what it says. And they want to apply it to something else. Well, we're going to look at it today. We're going to look at the kingdom vision, what the kingdom of God is going to be like. You know, folks will say, well, I've been to heaven. I've been to heaven, and this is what I saw. Well, there's some issues there. Let me understand that. There's some issues. Now, we can write whatever we want to write. But we got to make sure if we write something and we say this is what it is, that it don't go contrary to the things of God. That it can't go contrary. So what do we do? Are we going to believe what somebody wrote in a nice title with a nice cover over the Word of God? That's what we got to ask ourselves. And I'm just wondering, what are we trying to get at? What are we trying to do in the lives of people to share something like that rather than going back to the Word of God? And why don't we share? I asked myself this question. I was driving and I said, you know what? If Hollywood really wanted to make a blockbuster, I'm talking about a show enough blockbuster. If they would tell the biblical story of the kingdom of God, it would absolutely be incredible. Show it like it is. Don't edit it to fit every political, religious organization that's out there. Just show it like it is. You talk about be a blockbuster. I think about that. I kind of get those pictures in my mind when they get to the scene when Jesus returns. Everybody be eating that popcorn. I mean, you'd be at the edge of your seat. It'd be an absolute blockbuster. You ever ask yourself why they don't do it? Why this bits and pieces here and there, and we gotta chop it up and get it right for all the viewers. We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want nobody to be shocked. It would be incredible. So Let me see if I can give you a vision of it without video. Greek philosophy and Gnosticism, dualism teaches that all physical things are bad and only spiritual things are good. Its purposes, it proposes that the end goal in life is to escape the bad of this physical world and our physical body. And everything I've read in my studies, that's what you find. When you're talking about Greek philosophy, Gnosticism, which was around in Paul's day, and the Greeks were there, and dualism. Dualism, again, is like Jesus is a dual person. He's two people. We have his spiritual nature and his natural nature. So he's two. And so that's where that dualism, we have to be careful with that, because what it is, it says, so everything natural is bad. It's never going to be good. And only the things that are spiritual are good. So therefore, the bad body, the physical body, is going to go away, but you're going to have the spiritual body. Understand that. That's dualism. You're not going to have the physical planet anymore. You're going to have a spiritual planet or a spiritual heaven, just heaven. This is bad, and it's going to go away. So everything physical, that's what this teaches, Greek philosophy, Gnosticism, dualism teaches that everything in the physical realm is bad. It'll never be fixed. It needs to be discarded and done away with, including you and I. And then our spiritual man is born, and that's what's going to live on. Well, you can say that, and you can get it to where it sounds very good. Everybody wants to live forever, right? So we can use the live forever theme, and everybody wants that. But if we're setting people up and for this philosophy, we're missing what God does to fix that. We miss that in the middle. We take away from the resurrection, bringing back what died. We miss that the earth, in this chaotic state that it's in, is going to be restored. How many thank God for that? So we miss that. So I wanted to point out just some of that. The idea ends up influencing Christianity by exchanging the kingdom hope for integral spiritual hope, ethereal spiritual hope of going to a spiritual realm or heaven itself. However, the biblical story contrasts this. The biblical story contrasts that. And so we want to look at that today. We're going to talk about this vision. God said the earth was good. How many going with God on this one? Man's body was good. God's plan was good. Instead of escaping this world for something better, God's plan is to redeem this world and to make it perfect once again. Now that fits, to me, the biblical story. We're not going to escape this world. He's going to restore this world. We're not, when we die, we don't escape our body. We wait for the resurrection. That's what, we're not escaping our body. Who dies and escapes their body? Well, the only way that works is if you understand what dualism, or if you understand one of the things being taught is that innately inside of every person is immortality. Not conditional at all. But the scripture teaches immortality through condition. There's a condition to it. We get it through Christ to restore the relationship, and it's given to us only by the Almighty God, God Himself. I mean, thank God for that. And we experience that. How does it become real to us? Through resurrection. And He shows us that. So God's plan is to redeem this world and make it perfect once again. God tells us what the kingdom will be like through the vision he gives to his prophets. And all through the Old Testament, he gives these visions. But let's focus on Isaiah. So get your Bibles. We got some reading to do. And we're going to go as many as we can. Hopefully I can cover them all. But we'll be first in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Our Bibles are there and we're going to read. In the second chapter of Isaiah, verse number 1. The word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountains of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. And many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many people. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. How many see that? That to me is incredible. God's city, in the capital city, which will be Jerusalem, nations learn ways of the Lord, no more war. Can you imagine a planet where there's no more war? And I want to ask this question to you. What do we need farming equipment for in what everybody says heaven? Do you ever see that in the scripture? So he says the weapons of war. Where's the weapons of war at? Where they at? Are they in heaven? The weapons of war? No, they're over. We got them in America. We got them in all sorts of the countries, here and there. They're countries. And these weapons of war, he said, in that day, they're going to beat their weapons of war in the farming equipment. And that, to me, is absolutely encouraging and incredible. Because he said, in this kingdom, there'll be no more war. But what's exciting is they're going to still be farming. They're going to be taking this equipment and using it to plow with. Let me see this. So it's going to be converted into agricultural use and be used to benefit everyone. What are they used for now? To destroy people. He said, but you won't have to worry about that anymore. We're going to melt all that down and fix all that because there'll be no more war. No more war. How many know we still have war? We still have that. But things are going to change. So I want you to, and then he's talking about Jesus ruling in that area. He's going to be ruling, and it's absolutely incredible. So again, keep these things in mind as we go through this. We're talking about this journey, or this vision, rather, the vision of this kingdom. Look at Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2. Verse number 2, Isaiah 9, verse number 2. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nations, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, and with your gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoils. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warriors in the battle tumult, the cloak rolled in the blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Watch this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. God, the zeal of God. God says, this, you can count on it. I'm going to accomplish this. So what is he? What is happening here? Wonderful King to rule from David's throne. God's zeal ensures this. A wonderful king to rule from David's throne. So I want you to think about what we just read. There's going to be a king in God's kingdom. That's going to be the Son of God. And there'll be no one like him. He will be over all of that. And so when you read these things, let me just clear something up for folks, because when I get to verse 7, how many here you're wondering about verse 7? Let me read it again. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it. No one, listen, we have to see that that is what God said. Now we see the context there. But look at when I read in verse number 6. It says, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. Now here you go. You ready for this? Mighty God. See that one right there. We're wondering. You don't have to wonder no more. It's so simple. Watch this. Eternal Father. Prince of Peace. Now, when I say he's called, we're talking about the Son of God, Mighty God, does that mean he's Almighty God? No. There are Lord's many and God's many, but is anybody on this planet going to be over the Mighty God? Absolutely not. Is he Almighty God? No. Is there a distinction here between Mighty God and Almighty God? There is. There's a distinction. Because one's mighty and one's almighty. So see that distinction. Okay? Let me read this next part, because this is another thing that hangs people up. On that verse, it says, Eternal Father. Eternal Father. Again, it's describing he is the Eternal Father. He's the firstborn of many. And so we're born after him. That would make him what? A father to us. That would make him a father to us. Now, is he Almighty Father? No. But is he eternal? Yes. It was awarded to him because he went through it for us. Let me ask you this question. Will you be eternal when you are resurrected? Yes. These are incredible things. So this is some of the stuff that people just say, well, there you go. There it is. It's saying right there that Jesus is God. No, it's not. Not at all. It's saying he's mighty God, but he's not almighty God. There's a distinction. So keep that in mind when you're studying your text, okay? I figured while I was there, I'd touch on it for you. Because when I read that, people's wondering about that. And I don't want you to wonder. Just go back and study it, though. Study it over and over. Listen, I probably took 2 years on that one verse. If you want to know how long. Just on that one verse. And I've looked at it time and time again, read hundreds of commentaries on it. And I can show you that it fits the text. And what I just explained to you, it doesn't undo, destroy any other text. You can't define it and it undo 100 verses of Scripture. Because what are you going to do to fix them? You got to leave it in its setting. And believe me, there's an explanation for the text if we look at it clearly. There is one. And we got to pray also. You got to pray and ask God, give me insight, Lord. What is this? I need to know. And God will. He does it every time. Isaiah 11. Again, this kingdom vision. Could you imagine? I'm going to be reading the third part of Isaiah. Could you imagine trying to understand Revelations without Isaiah? Trying to live out your Christian life and not even have the Isaiah? Folk going around saying, oh, we don't need that no more. That's done away with. That's so silly to talk like that. Absolutely. So if it was done away with, we didn't need it, it would have never been given to us and kept safe and sound until we could look at it for ourselves. Isaiah 11, 1. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. When I say Lord there, you notice that word's all cap. He will, and I could read it just like this and it would be correct. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest on him. What spirit is he going to have? The Spirit of his Father. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of the knowledge of the fear of Yahweh. He will delight in the fear of Yahweh. Did he do all those things? Absolutely. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Watch this. And a wolf will dwell with the lamb. Is that what happens today? What happens if you put a wolf and a lamb together in the same pen? It don't turn out good for the lamb. How many of you ever see on national TV where a lamb attacked a wolf and just tore it to pieces? But you see it the other way. You know what he says in this kingdom? The wolf will lay with the lamb. So not only is it going to help in our for us as God's human beings, but in the animal kingdom also is going to be a change. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. A little boy will lead them. Also, the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of a cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the nation will resort to the root of Jesse and will stand in the as a signal for the people, and his resting place will be glorious. How many see that? So there's going to be a change. There's going to be a definite change. You say, well, where's all these things going to happen? On this planet. That's what the Scripture's clear on. It's going to happen here. It's going to be restored. And so we got the animal kingdom getting along. Kids can be playing the cobra's den. None of that's going to hurt nobody. And that's what's so incredible about God's kingdom. He fixes it all. I'm excited about this. So this is just a vision of the kingdom. Look at Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, verse number 6. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will fall limp, and every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them. They will reap like a woman in labor. They will look at one another in astonishment, their face aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Cruel with fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation. And he will exterminate its sinners from it. Y'all seeing this? For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Thus I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and abase the hardiness of the ruthless. I will make mortal men scarcer than pure gold. You see that? Therefore, and mankind like the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. We read that in Revelation, it's described as the wrath of God. The wrath of God. So if you're interested when you're doing your study, you'll see that judgment on those who do not choose God's way. Is he going to just say, okay, well, let's sit down, have another meeting or whatever? It's not going to happen that way. That's why we got to decide, we got to make decisions, and he's given us this opportunity. He sends the Son in advance before the kingdom comes. So we have that. We have that way to build that relationship. Is it in its fullness? No, but it's we have an earnestness of the Spirit. And so we must take advantage of that. We have to learn the ways of God. How we learn that? Through the teaching of the Scripture. That's what Jesus brought to us. How many thank God for that? And so these are important issues. And as we do that, this is what we do. We grow strong in the Lord. We know what's going to happen. Everybody's clear on it. And if a person walks away from it after knowing all this, God says, hey, you decided that. That's fine. But it's going to be. Just as sure as there's a Calvary, there's going to be a wrath of God. Now, we won't talk about Calvary. We like that. But what about the wrath of God? That just as sure there was a baby born in Bethlehem, we want to talk about that, there's going to be a wrath of God. Just as sure. And just as sure as there's going to be great destruction, there's going to be a new kingdom, and a new king is going to reside. We have to talk about those things. We can't talk about half-truths and half-gospel when we can share the whole gospel. He said, when the gospel is preached to the world, then he'll come. And that's what has been wrong, is we're not preaching the full gospel. Amen? Let me tell you, if you tell somebody, all you got to do is just come to Christ and be saved through Christ, that's all you got to know, it's all you got to understand, that's not the whole truth. Christ is the way to build the relationship back. The information a person needs to know to maintain that relationship is the consequence if you don't. Does this make sense to you? I love the Lord Jesus. I can speak about him, sing about him, praise him, honor him, and thank him for all that he does. But one thing's for certain, you have to understand, Christ comes to build the relationship back. We need to know what's our consequence if we don't keep that relationship. And that's what I believe is not being said. We don't have to worry. Don't worry about it. We're leaving. We're all going somewhere. And I like to know where we're going. Exactly where are we going? And we do need to worry about it. The church needs to make sure that message is correct, and we're telling somebody, listen, there's a kingdom coming. It's not, we're not going to the kingdom. The kingdom's coming to us. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven don't have no problems. We got them all here. Do you understand that? And God's not going to leave. Listen, if you sum it up this way, everything wrong with the world made right. Everybody say that. Everything wrong with the world made right. That's the kingdom of God. And I'm excited about that. Everything wrong going to be made right. And we have a wonderful Father who's poised and ready to deliver us that king. And that's exciting to me. What a wonderful king that we have. God extends kingdom invitation even to his enemies. For even Egypt will worship the Lord. How many know that Egypt's going to worship the Lord? Look at 19. Isaiah 19. This one really is encouraging to me. Because when you're reading this, when you're going through Isaiah, and you go through it, it's something you put, just write down these little things that come to you. And this is in one that's absolutely incredible. Isaiah 19, verse 19, it says, in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of where? Egypt. Wow. How many know Egypt is recognized as God's enemy? Who was the people, the Pharaohs and all, who had God's people in bondage for over 400 years? At one time, when Joseph was alive, the Pharaohs were, you know, you can get along with them, talk to them, but that Pharaoh died, the scripture says. And when that Pharaoh died, another Pharaoh came up, and he wasn't right. And he put all sorts of hardship on God's people. But listen what God does. Let me tell you, you want to see God at work, God's mercy, his wonderful grace to us? This makes me excited. In verse 19, he said, and there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord near its borders. It will become a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts and to the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a champion, and he will deliver them. Do you see that? He's going to send them a champion and a Savior and deliver them. Thus the Lord will make himself known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. They will even worship with sacrifice and offerings and will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing. So they will return to the Lord, and he will respond to them and will heal them. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come to Egypt and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day Israel will be the third party with Egypt and Assyria, and a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, and the work of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. Do you see God at work there? Do you see that? And this stuff we need to know. You watch the news, and they'll blow up this, you know, they'll be just bashing this one country and against this country, and don't get involved in that. Don't pick your country. Because I can show you, the country you're picking, you might not have the right one picked. Oh, that Egypt, man. We need to get rid of that Egypt. I wouldn't be saying that. You know, and that's what we do every day. We look at somebody and we'll kind of write them off. Let's not forget, we're in that same boat. If it wouldn't have been for the mercy and grace of God on all of our lives, we're nothing. It's by his grace that we're saved. And you got to let God be God. Don't try to play that part, well, they don't need it. Them people's been bad. God said, I'm going to save Egypt, and I'm going to save Assyria, and they'll be just like Israel. When's the last time you heard that preached? When is he going to do that? In the last day. So listen, you and I, we ought to be getting really excited when we start seeing this shifting and this moving around in the Middle East of all this stuff that's going on. Don't get all worked up about it. You be encouraged because the time is at hand. And it's absolutely incredible. And I'm thankful for it. God extends the kingdom invitation to even his enemies. And I'm glad. I was an enemy of God. That's right. I was an enemy of God. And he extended the invitation to me. And I thank God that he's extending it to the whole world. How many of you want saved? You know, sometimes we got our own list. They don't need to go. Yep, not them. Why don't we just put our list aside and just thank God we're saved by his grace and let God save? He said, I'm going to have mercy on whom I have mercy. That's not our job. Our job is to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He said, I'm going to show mercy on the one I want to show mercy. And let me tell you, if God shows mercy to Egypt, and that's what he prophesied by the Isaiah the prophet, then we ought not be going against that in one way. In the United States of America, we need to get our leadership to open Isaiah and read a little bit. Because we get to picking and choosing what nation we want to bless, what nation we want to help, what nation we want to stand with. Listen, I will tell you what I would do. I would stand for every nation God's standing for. Do you understand that? I don't want to go in contrary to God in one bit. And so that's important that we study this and read this and get the word out. Because a lot of times people just get written off and God's word says different. I mean, you know, the devil wrote you off a long time ago. He wrote me off. God's word says something different. He said, I'll take you out the miry clay. Aren't you thankful for that? Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made white. How many thank God that God's a cleansing God? And so that's the things that we read, we understood it, and God wants us all to understand. Isaiah 25. How many notice we're still in Isaiah? Talking about just one prophet. There are many prophets, but just this one, everything he's talking about. Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. For you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. I'd be writing that one down right there. I'd make sure that I go back over that. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. That's our God. That's our God. For you have made a city into a heap and fortified cities into ruins. A place for strangers is a city. No more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, a strong people will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you, for you have been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge for from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall, like a heat in drought. You subdue the abhor of aliens, like heat by the shadow of a cloud. The song of the ruthless is silenced. How many see that? The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of marah and refined aged wine. And on this mountain, he will swallow up the covering which is over all the people, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all times. Do you see this prophecy? He will swallow up death for all time. The Lord God will wipe tears away from from all faces. He will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord of hosts spoke. How many thank God that he spoke? So when he prepares this feast, this banquet, he's got it all set. Aged wine, the finest meat, steak. Are you hungry? Anybody getting hungry yet? There's a song we used to sing when we were kids coming up in church. Oh, Lord, I'm hungry and I want to be fed. Oh, Lord. Anybody remember that? I'm hungry and I want... When we were kids, we'd sit in the seat after the preacher done preached. And some of you might be thinking this. We'd sing it like this. Oh, Lord, I'm sleepy and I want to go to bed. Oh. So hopefully you're not thinking that. I'm still preaching now. But that's what we would do when we were kids. How many is hungry and want to be fed? Won't you feed me all the days of my life? Feed me, Jesus, feed me. Remember that? Feed me, Jesus. Boy, we'd be singing. Feed me all the days of my life. We'd sing. But you know he's going to feed us? Sometimes we just lose sight of this. I can tell you what we're not going to be doing. We're not going to be washing holy, heavenly dishes and painting rainbows. Listen, God don't need me to paint a rainbow. He already put one up there. Yeah. He's the painter. Yeah. He's the painter. He's going to say, all right, everybody ready to eat? Everybody ready? Come and dine. Come and dine. And you know what? You're going to sit, you're going to pull up a seat. You might be sitting next to Abraham. Do you get this? You might be sitting right next to him. And there, you're sitting to Paul. Some of you are sitting right next to Paul. And he's going to feed us. Hallelujah. What? The best. It says he's got age. Stuff. You know, folks think they age in this wine and they got it all figured out. They don't know nothing about this wine. Amen. You say, how do you know? Because God's the one. Listen, the grapes that we use to make whatever we make today, it's got a curse on it. But when God made it, there was no curse. It's aged. I think about it. Why he uses the word aged? I'm just wondering if before he stepped down and took the dust and made man in his own image, he already bottled some stuff. Woo! He already put some stuff in. That's going to be for a banquet like we have never had before. And I'm still putting him together, but he already planned it. It's aged. How many know God's got a banquet prepared for us? Huh? This is so important for us to get. Grab hold to. Important. God's plan, God's great banquet. Death is swallowed up. And that part I read to you, death is swallowed up. Death is swallowed up. It's gone. It's finished. All right. We're not going to finish. I'm going to go do maybe one more. Okay? Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. Just that alone. Think about it. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. I want to ask you, how many wilderness do you think's in heaven? What about deserts? Any deserts in heaven? Doesn't make sense, does it? So how's the wilderness and the desert going to be glad? Because they got those here. They're here, but they're going to change. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabia will rejoice and blossom. Blossom. How many's ever seen a desert? You ever been traveling out west? You see these deserts? You're just going for, you know, we was in Mexico and one of the deserts there. I mean, they're just going and going and going and going. It's like you see a cactus here and a cactus there. And you see these tumbleweeds just blowing in sandstorms. You'd see these sand twisters just out. You see lots of them. You go on, there's a twister. You go a little further, there's another one. And there's not much. You don't see just beautiful, beautiful plains of grass and grazing animals. You don't. But listen, the desert's going to get glad. Hallelujah. It's going to blossom. It's just going to blossom. So if the desert blossoms, it's not going to be a desert no more. It'll blossom and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious hearts, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. God's recompense has come, but he's going to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Do you see that? The blinded eyes open, ears that are deaf, unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer. And the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. The waters will break forth in the wilderness and streams in the Arabia. The scorched land will become a pool. Will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the hunt of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, the roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. Anybody want to travel on that? Anybody want to travel there? The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And the fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go up on it. There will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. The redeemed will... Anybody want to go on the highway of holiness? How many glad you know, you just found out they got a highway of holiness? Glory to God. There's a highway of holiness, and the redeemed will walk there. The ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion. With everlasting joy upon their heads, they will find gladness and joy and sorrow, and Zion will flee away. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen? So we look at these things and we see this stuff unfold. Let's see. I'm getting close. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who gave birth to you in pain. When he was but one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion and will comfort all her waste places and her wilderness, and he will make her like Eden. You see that? He will make her like Eden, the earth again like Eden, the garden of the Lord. God's salvation will last forever. What are we seeing this? And her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving and sounds of melody. Pay attention to me, O my people. Give ear to me, O my nations. For a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arm will judge the people. And the coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. Lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath, for the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not wane. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings, for the moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like wool, but my righteousness will be forever and my salvation to all generations. I thank God that he's given us these promises. The rest, he tells us, it's going to get eaten up. It's going to wear away. But he says, my righteous, I'm going to protect them. I'm going to keep them. And that's what the Lord does for us. Isaiah 60. Rise, shine, verse 1. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to you, to your light, and the king of and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. Verse 18, it says, violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your wall salvation and your gates praise. No longer will you have the sun for a light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord. Do you see that? You will have the Lord for an everlasting light. I mean, see, we've seen that in Revelations. Your God will be your glory. Anybody ready for this? Your God will be your glory. And so your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light. The day of your mourning will be over. Then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land for how long? Forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it its time. I will hasten it. Where is he doing all this stuff, by the way? Just wondering. Amen. One more. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 11. But you who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune, who will fill the cup with mixed wine for destiny, I will disdain you for the sword, and all of you will bow down to the slaughter. Because I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. And you did evil in my sight, and chose in that in which I did not delight. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servant will eat, but you will be hungry. Behold, my servant will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servant will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. Behold, my servant will shout joyfully with a glad heart, but you will cry out with a heavy heart, and you will wail with a broken spirit. You will leave your name for a curse to my chosen one, and the Lord God will slay you. But my servant will be called by another name, because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth, and he who swears in the earth will swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, and her people for gladness. I also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. I mean, you see that? Or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100. And the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. And they will build houses and inhabit them. And they will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people. And my chosen one will wear out the works of their hands. They will not labor in vain nor bear children for calamity. For they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. It will also come to pass before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will graze together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The dust will be the serpent's food, and they will do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So when it's given that analogy of the age, there'll be no infant deaths. There'll be the old. Listen, why? Why is that? Because we know, he tells us in other places, how long they're going to live. How long are they going to live? Forever. For eternity. And so he's given that analogy. He's showing us that in those words. And those are common expressions used to let us know. They're going to live forever. We're talking about the kingdom of God. And so I hope that this has helped you. God does not give up. He redeems. That's true about you. God doesn't throw away. He restores. That's true about the earth. So my prayer is today that you and I just start. We got to start coming to the reality of this incredible kingdom that God has promised us. We have to know it. If somebody comes to us, we got to be able to share this gospel with them. So we got to go over it. So I'm hoping through this series that we can just put it out there so you'll see it. So we looked at the kingdom story, and we see that. Then we looked at the kingdom journey, and now we just went over the kingdom vision. And next week we'll be talking in another section. We'll be looking at the kingdom message. I believe that's the part we have, I think, two more sections to do. But I just want this to minister to you. I want you to see that there it is in the Bible. We ought to be excited about it. You know, the Bible's unfolding to you. It's a great story. It's a great picture of a promise that we have. And we ought to all be excited and thrilled about it. Amen? Let's stand together. I just want to tell you this. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to be in the kingdom of God, you can. You can be in the kingdom of God. And God wants you in the kingdom. If you're not in the kingdom of God, then you're going to be destroyed. And so understand that. Clearly understand that. If you're not in the kingdom, and I've read it several times, he said this in throughout Isaiah's given this vision of the kingdom. He said that whatever's wrong in the kingdom, he's going to get rid of it. Whatever's wrong will be made right. And so if you're here today and you say, you know, I never decided whether I want to be in the kingdom of God or not. All I ever knew is some folks asked me if I want to go to heaven. And even if we tried to, can you imagine, you know, what is heaven like? And so we try to get this picture and we try to read whatever we can and we read what folks will tell us about what it is. But we can see, we see the picture in the scripture and we don't see a lot of people talking about that. But here's the focus. What is the kingdom of God going to be like? If you ask somebody, hey, what's the kingdom of God going to be like? Well, I don't know. And I gave you some description on the kingdom of God today. Do you want to live in the kingdom of God? Do you want to be there forever and ever? Jesus is the king that's going to sit on his throne. Of his kingdom, there'll be no end. No end. Of his rulership, it's been awarded to him by the Father. Well, if you never made that decision, you can. But there's only one way we can have that promise, and that's through Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because you can't understand the kingdom without a right relationship. So the relationship has to be restored. And you can't get a relationship to God, the Father, whose kingdom we're going to be in. It's God's kingdom. How can you understand that without a relationship with the Father? And how can you have a relationship with the Father except through Christ? There's no other way, no other means. There are many people who say, oh, you can go this way, you can go that way. He said, there'll be many coming. They'll say, go here, go there. I said, don't go. He said, don't follow that. Jesus was clear. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can go to the Father but through me. And so the only way we can have that right relationship is through Christ. So accepting Christ is not just believing that there was a Christ, that there was a Messiah. Accepting him is accepting his what he stood for, what he preached. And Jesus preached the kingdom. You can read everything that Jesus preached. You ought to take that challenge and go back through the New Testament and read every single thing Jesus preached. And Jesus, he spoke primarily, very rare, later at the end of his life on the planet, he spoke very little about his death. Very little. He primarily spoke about the kingdom of God that was coming. I think that's something to take note of. And so, I'll encourage you, if you never made a decision to serve the Lord and come to God through Christ, you need to do that. That's something you need to do. And the way you do that is you just accept the message of Christ. Accept that message. He preached about a kingdom that he would be king in. He said, it's coming. Get ready. Prepare it. Believe that in your heart. Believe that Jesus is that messenger. He's that Son of God that was sent. Believe it in your heart. Trust in it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today